a book entitled The Remains of Robert Murray McShane. This past week, McShane was the author of the song that Bridget sings for us quite a bit, How Much I Owe. You'll recognize that name identified with that song. It's a great, great hymn. But he was an outstanding preacher of the gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus in Scotland, Robert Murray McShane. And he said this, he said, it's possible to travel through a country, and having traveled through that country, to know nothing about it, about its people, about its culture, about its traditions, its history. Because the person traveling through didn't stop anywhere, spend any time, and consider the things about him. And I thought, that's right, I went through your country that way, Scotland. I've been through all the way from one end of Scotland to the other. But I couldn't tell you a thing about it because we were on our way to Ireland and we didn't stop and study the country at all. We didn't camp anywhere. Now, I know something about Mexico. I'm familiar with a lot of places and a lot of people there, because I've been there and I've stayed for time, spent time there, and I've camped there. And the application that McShane was making is this. He said people go through the scripture that way. They've read a lot of Bible, but they've never stopped and camped anywhere and spend any time. Consequently, they know nothing about it. They've been there. Maybe they can even quote it. But they've gone through it and didn't stop. Well, I hope tonight that we can camp here on four verses in 1 John chapter 1. And when we finish, know something about it. John writes in 1 John 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, we've seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Think we can camp there a while. Well, the subject of John's preaching was always the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't preach about Christ. He preached Christ. He didn't just talk about Christ. He preached Christ and Him crucified. They say that Matthew's gospel portrays Christ as the King of the Jews. Mark's gospel as the servant. Luke's gospel, Son of Man. John's gospel, Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But this is the preaching of all of God's servants. It says, I want you to turn to this scripture in John 12, talking about Isaiah the prophet. The prophet of the Old Testament who's quoted more in the New Testament than any other Old Testament prophet. Isaiah. Isaiah. It says here in John 12, verse 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory. He spake of him. Whose glory did he see? The Lord Jesus Christ. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, Jehovah, Jehovah, Christ Jesus, sitting on a throne. And once he saw his glory, he spake of him. Christ was his message. Old John the Baptist, turn to John, the book of John, if you will, chapter 1. John the Baptist, his message was Christ. It says here in John 1:15, John, this is talking about John the Baptist now, not the beloved John, not the author of this gospel, this epistle. In John 1:15, it says, John the Baptist bear witness of him. He bear witness of him, and he cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me. John was 6 months older than Jesus Christ, as far as their journey on this earth is concerned. He was 6 months older, but he said, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Old John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. He said, I'm not the light. I'm bearing witness of the light. I'm not the Christ. I'm not worthy to loosen the laces of his shoes. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This was the preaching of Philip. You say, well, Philip was on that great chapter, Isaiah 53, about Christ. If he'd have been in Hezekiah, he'd have preached Christ. Habakkuk, he'd have preached Christ. Hosea, he'd have preached Christ. Philip began at the same scripture and preached Christ. Always Christ. This was the preaching of Paul, who stood before those learned men of Corinth, and he said, I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And here the beloved disciple says in chapter 1 of his first epistle, I must tell you about him, that which was from the beginning, which I've heard. I've heard him. I've seen him with my own eyes, which we have seen with our eyes. I've heard him with my own ears. These hands have touched him. I want to tell you about him whom I touched, who was made flesh and dwelt among us. I want to tell you about him. About him. That which was from the beginning. John wrote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John heard him talk about his eternality. John heard him say, before Abraham was, I am. And John was with him in the garden that night when he said, Father, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before this world was. Don't you know what an impact that must have had on John as he heard those words through the stillness of that garden? Father, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That which was from the beginning, which I have seen, which I have heard, which I have touched, I declare unto you. Look at that verse 2. If we can get a hold of three things here, lay hold of these three things. Camp right here for just a moment. And and not read it and speed through it and miss it. It says here in verse 2, listen, for the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness and show unto you three things. That eternal light. Secondly, which was with the Father. Thirdly, was manifested to us. That eternal light. My friends, as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. I hear people saying with great gusto, as if it was something that ought to be said, and something that ought to be heard, and something that ought to be believed, and something that ought to be rejoiced in. Jesus is alive! Say, what in the world's wrong with that? But I'll tell you this, it's bordering on blasphemy. Jesus is not alive, Jesus is life. I'm alive. You say, Henry's alive. You hadn't said anything much. But when you say Jesus is alive, you're missing the point. It's what he said to Martha. He said, I am life. I am life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am life. You see what I'm saying? That eternal life. That eternal life. You see, every man, naturally, he's life. All natural life comes from him. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He created man and breathed into him life. Every man that breathes, breathes by permission and power of Jesus Christ. Every beast that roams the forest breathes and lives by the hand of Jesus Christ. Every bird that flies through the air has life with the power of Jesus Christ. And every bird that falls to the ground, his life is taken by the hand of Jesus Christ. I kill, I make alive, he said. He's the author of natural life. John saw him, you know, over there in Luke, he went to the ruler's house and the man's daughter was dead. John was with him. Turn over there, let me show you John was with him. Luke chapter 8. Listen to this. John was with him. In Luke chapter 8, verse 49. Verse 49, listen. Luke 8, 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, "Don't, your master's dead. Don't bother them. Your daughter's dead. Don't bother the master. Trouble not the master." Well, that would have been all right to say if I'd have been on the scene there. Don't trouble Brother Mahan, the daughter's dead. But not him who's life. He is life. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, she'll be made whole." And when he was come to the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, the father and mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Don't weep. She's not dead. She sleeps." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "My maid, arise." And her spirit came again. Who is this? He's life. He touches the dead and the living. That's who he is. He's that life. He's that life. He's not alive. He's life. Is that not making that clear? He touched her. He's the only one in the whole universe that can do that. He stood at Lazarus' grave. You say, well, didn't Paul raise the dead by the name of Jesus Christ? Didn't he come? In the power of Christ. He commanded the life that Christ gave. He stood by Lazarus' grave. He said, Lazarus, 4 days he'd been dead. His body already decaying. And he said, Lazarus, come forward. And he lived. This is what John is saying here. If we can get a hold of this, that eternal life. And you say, well, you're talking about natural life. I am. I'm talking about natural life. He is the author of all natural life. He's the giver of all natural life. But he's the giver of spiritual life. That's what he's talking about here. That spiritual life, that eternal life. Turn over a few pages to 1 John 5, verse 20. 1 John 5, 20. Listen to this. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. We're in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. John was sitting in a boat, mending nets with his father and his brother. A captive of old Jewish tradition, religion, dead in trespasses and sins. Dead and depressed and disappointed, having no knowledge of God at all. And Jesus Christ came by and looked at him and called his name. And he said, John, James, follow me. Follow me. And you know what happened to John? Eternal life came in. That's right, Tom. Right then. Right then. Right then. You turn, let me show you that in John 5. Listen to this. In John chapter 5. In John chapter 5. Verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. As he quickens sinners by his word. Look down at verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear live. John, follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. I tell you, if he ever speaks to you or me, we'll live. That's the only way that that man probably in his late 40s, done nothing in his life but fish, known nothing in his life but the nets, sitting with his brother and his father in a boat they had worked hard to build or buy. That was his living. Sitting there mending those nets. And at the voice of one man, a man whom he had never seen, he laid down his nets and followed him to his death. Never stopped following him from that moment. That's life. That's what I'm talking about. That life. That life. Spiritual life. All right, what's this next word here? That life which was with the Father. Now, I'm not going to insult your intelligence by trying to define the Trinity. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I know there's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Father is the Father, the Son is the Son, the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. But our Lord Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And it says in Isaiah chapter 9, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. One God. Christ said, I and my Father are, not is one, am one, are one. Now, I'm me and Tom's Tom, but I can't say I and Tom are one. I can say I am one. Christ said, I and my Father are one. And Philip said to him one time, said, well, show us the Father. Show us the Father. You know, John the Baptist said that you would declare the Father, show us the Father. And Christ said, Philip, have I been so long time with you and you don't know me? He that has seen me has seen my Father. He is with the Father. That eternal life, that life which was with the Father, which is one with the Father, which is of the Father and in the Father and the Father in Him. Look at the next word. Was manifested to us. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Turn to 1 Timothy and read this for yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy 3. These are mysteries that I can't explain, I can only proclaim. Somebody said to Brother Barnard one time, said, well, explain that. He said, I'm not in the explaining business. I'm in the proclaiming business. I don't understand it. I believe it. It's above me. It's beyond me. But it says here in 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, it's a great mystery. The mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. What did John write in John? Keep that right there a minute. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. The Word was with God, and He tabernacled among us. And the Word was God, and we beheld His glory. God actually came to earth. That's right, it says, God was manifest in the flesh, justified or vindicated in the Spirit, seen of angels. The angels announced His birth. The angels ministered to Him. The angels announced His resurrection. Then the angels announced His return. You know, angels don't get too excited about what we do. Nobody ever knew about it if we didn't put it in the paper. Man can go somewhere and pastor 30 years and most folks in the community don't even know he's there. That's right. Preaching this grand and glorious gospel. But everywhere my Lord went, the angels attended Him. Even when He lay as an infant in the stable, the angels stood out there on that hillside and woke up the shepherds and told them about it. And when He arose from the grave, the women came to the tomb, and there sat two angels. They said, what are you looking for the living among the dead for? He was manifested, seen of the priest to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. I tell you this, the Word was made flesh in the fullness of time. After having set Him forth in promise and prophecy and picture and pattern. In the fullness of time, He sent His Son. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. Made of a woman. He who made woman was made of a woman. That's right. Made under the law, under His own law. I don't understand that. He's bigger than the law. Not now. He's under it. Obligated to keep it. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I tell you this, if He hadn't have come, we'd have never known God. You say, I don't know much about God. You wouldn't have known anything about God. If He hadn't have come, you'd be under the curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in this book to do it. But He was made a curse for us. I tell you, if He hadn't have come, you'd have never known the love of God. Because the love of God's in Christ Jesus. If He had never come to this earth, you'd have never come to God. Because seeing we have a great high priest, let us come boldly. If he had not come to this earth, you wouldn't have had spiritual life, because he said, I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That life, that source of life, that fountain of life, that one in whom life dwells, that center of life, like the sun is the center of the universe, that life which was with the Father, manifested to us. I saw him, John said. I saw him. I can say that. I've seen him. Oh, preacher, you've never seen God. No, I haven't. Not with these eyes. I see him right here in this scripture. I see him over here in Isaiah 6. I see him in the sun that shines in the daytime. I see him in the stars that twinkle at night. I see him in the rippling brooks and the flowing seas and rivers. Don't you see him? I've seen him. I've heard him. Yeah, he's spoken to me many a time through his word. And I've touched, he touched me. He touched me. I'll tell you about him. Oh, beloved, it's the manifested Christ we preach. It's not a myth. It's the manifested Christ. It's not a theory. What's your theory of the atonement? I ain't got no theory of the atonement. The atonement's not a theory. The atonement is a fact, a person. I don't have any theories. He was born of a woman. He was obedient in a perfect life, lived on this earth, tempted, tried as I am, wept, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. There's no valley I walk he hadn't walked, no mountain I climb he hadn't climbed, no pain I feel that he hadn't felt, no tear I shed he hadn't shed. He walked this life obediently. He died a vicarious death. He suffered on a cruel cross. He rose triumphantly. He's exalted to glory. That's who I'm talking about. That life was manifested to us. Preacher, is that for me? Certainly. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. Is that for me? Certainly. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Is that for me? Oh, yes. He said, if any man thirst, let him come to me. Come on. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But it's not looked to the law. No, sir. I'm doing the best I can. I know that. But that's not what he said. He said, it's not looked to your experience, is it? It's not looked to your deeds. It's not even looked to the cross. I'm looking to that old rugged cross. No, it wasn't the pole. It was a serpent on the pole to whom they looked. Look to him. Look unto me. And I tell you, you look unto him wherever he is. You look unto him back yonder in the council halls of eternity as your surety. You look unto him in the manger. Simeon saw, he said, I've seen God's salvation. He didn't see a cross. He saw a baby, didn't he? But that baby was Christ. It's look unto him in his perfect life. It's look to him on the cross. It's look to him in the tomb, the scapegoat. Look to him, the resurrected justifier. Look to him at the right hand of God. Look to him. Well, let's look at verse 3. Here's the reason. John had a reason for preaching Christ. He had an object in view by preaching Christ, as I do tonight by preaching Christ. That which we've seen and heard declare we unto you in order that three things. you may have fellowship with us. I'm preaching Christ to you. I'm not preaching the doctrines of grace to you or Baptist doctrine. I'm preaching Christ. Why? That you may have fellowship with us. That you may be one among those who have all these things in common. Now let me tell you something. This is what I like about Christmas. And what you like about it. I'm not a Christmas fan particularly, but this is what I like about it. All my children come home, my grandchildren. There are 14 of us. And I was sitting there in the den a few nights ago, and there was Grandma Doris and all of her little chickens around her. Every one of them but one. My, was she happy. And she fixed a meal, and they all were there to eat it. All of them. The family. And you had that experience. You did. Several of you did. Didn't you? And that family, I watched them and listened to them, and they just all loved each other. They just talked, and they went back and talked about the years, the past, the present, the future, the pictures. And they could go on and on and on and on and on talking and visiting. They have so much in common. They got the same daddy and the same mama and the same grandmother. And they're one. Their brothers and sisters got the same blood in their veins. If a fella next door had dropped over, he wouldn't have felt that fellowship, would he? He'd got out of there quick as he could before they showed home movies. But that gang would watch the home movies. They love each other. You say, is there room for more? Yeah. These grandbabies came along, and they're just as much a part of that group as it was 20, 15 years ago. Every new one that's added is not like a new one at all. It's like they've been there forever. You know what I'm saying? The newest one is 5 years old, but he kind of runs the show now. You know what I'm saying? He runs the show. And he hasn't been there long as anybody. I've been there all the time, and they don't pay attention to me. They watch him. This is God's family. It's God's family. Got the same Father. Got the same Redeemer. And they love each other. And they meet here every Sunday. You can't hardly run them off. I could preach and then get up and preach again. There'd still be some of them left. They show pictures and they talk to one another. They talk about the past, present, and new people come in. God brings, saves one, brings him in. And he kind of takes over there for a while, you know. That suits me fine. Everybody's so glad to have a new member. New baby. See the new baby this morning down here? Oh, everybody grinning around that new baby. John said, that's why I'm preaching Christ, that you may have fellowship with us. We got all things in common. All things. Common faith, common afflictions, common salvation. That's right. And watch this. Secondly, and our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. Oh, that's what makes us one. That's the cement. That's the bond. That's the tie that brings us together. It's our relationship with Him. That's right. Our relationship with Him. And then thirdly, he said in verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Unspeakable joy and full of glory. And that joy just keeps filling up. Just keeps filling up. All other joys come and go. That's right. They come and go. The joys of this earth. There's a joy that you experience when you bought your first car. Remember when you and your wife bought your first car? Got married. We didn't have cars when we got married. Doris and I went on our honeymoon on a Greyhound bus. We got married on prayer meeting one Wednesday night. After prayer meeting, we got married. That's a good time to get married, when saints of God get together to worship God. And we left and went to the bus station, had our honeymoon dinner at the Greyhound Bus Depot. And then we caught a bus, went on our honeymoon. And then we got our first car. I lived here in Ashland, 21 years old, and I bought a 1935 straight eight Packard with 35,000 miles on it, owned by John Woods, president of Third National Bank. That was in 1947. It was 12 years old when I got it, $650. It was a doozer. But it's gone now. It's like a tank. I hit a fellow one time, tore his car up, just dented my fender a little bit. It's a 7-passenger job. It's longer than the hearse. I get in the funeral procession, they didn't know which one to put the body in, you know. All the other joys come and go, don't they? But this joy of Christ gets sweeter every year. This fellowship sweeter every year. How in the world can you stay somewhere and pastor 41 years? I tell you how. Because our joy is in Christ. If it's in anything else, we'd all been gone a long time ago, wouldn't we? We've been friends a long time. A long, long time. You know what? We're going to be friends forever. We're going to pick this up someday on the other side. Talking to Scott the other day, I said, well, God calls me away first. I'll save you a place right beside me to fish in the river up there. No, he said, I'll be leaving before you do. I said, I don't know about that. He said, yeah, I will. And says, I'll save you a seat. And said, I'll get you one of those folding chairs with a canvas bottom. And put your name on the back of it, he said. Well, we had a little humor there, but that's true. We're going to be together. We're going to be together. Always. Always. It's your joy maybe full. Well, one final word. In the event that anyone here may question these words of John, that Christ is the life and the way to God. The whole Bible bears witness of this fact. The whole Bible, now you listen to this, bears witness of this fact that you and I are sinners, fallen, depraved creatures, separated from a holy God, and by no way of our own, by nature, we have no way to God. The scripture says in Genesis 3 that when God put Adam out, he took a flaming sword, didn't he? That pointed every way. You know what it said? To keep him away from the tree of life. Keep him away from God. How are you going to get by that flaming sword? Well, I'll tell you how I'm going to get by it. Christ. And he came, and he didn't find a way around the sword. And he didn't, by his authority, banish the sword. He took it in his heart and paid the debt and died under the sword of justice. And I went right on through. That's right. And throughout the Old Testament priests tell us there's a holy of holies where God dwells in his glory, his Shekinah glory. No human being, you brought this out this morning, was allowed in that place but the high priest once a year, not without blood. Now, how are you going to get in there? Old Uzziah tried it, didn't he? God killed him. Others tried it. God killed him. I'm going in. I'm going through the veil, past the veil, into the Holy of Holies. You know how I'm going there? I'm going behind Christ. He went there with his blood and put it on that mercy seat, covered that broken law, and tore that veil in two, and turned and said, come on in. Didn't he? Let us come boldly before the throne of grace.
And God taught Israel that, and he taught Moses that, and I hope he'll teach us that. About that daysman. Puts one hand on God, one hand on me. You read that this morning. And makes the two one. Paul said, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And then you know what he said as he closed that chapter? Be ye reconciled to God. God's reconciled. Now you be reconciled. That is, lay down your shotgun. Put up your sword. Pull down your banner. Surrender. Be reconciled to God. All right, Mike, come lead us in a closing hymn, please, sir.